I have known David longer than anybody in this room and anybody in this world. I was there that April day in 1946. I didn't want him. And I didn't ask for him. But it was the beginning of 58 years of brotherly love and birth order sibling rivalry. We had a quid pro quo growing up. I was expected to look after David. I was expected to take care of him. And in return, he was expected to do whatever I told him to do. We couldn't have been more different in our personalities, as my family all knows all too well. I was a consummate loner. David was a gregarious, garrulous, fun-loving human being who everybody loved. He could never be alone, as all of you know. And he always had an entourage. I was argumentative. David learned early the art of compromise and affability. An example might be, as my brother Dan can well attest, is if you'd walk into the kitchen and there'd be a garbage sack, and our father would come in and see it there once again, just sitting there. He would yell at me, take out the garbage, and of course, I would argue with him. David, however, didn't argue with him. David said, "Dad, I'd be happy to." And 5 minutes later, his friends would come and he'd be gone, but the garbage was still there. And so I, of course, received the attention of our father a little more emphatically after that episode. And of course, that didn't endear him to me as much as it probably should have growing up. But through it all, as Dan knows, we were inseparable. When I got my pilot's license in high school, of course, my first victim, my first passenger had to be my brother, David. And although he didn't enjoy the airplane, nor can I blame him, he always wanted to go. And so our parents, for some reason, had the trust that we would take care of business, and off we would go to points unknown. In an airplane that was made out of fabric and tubular steel and had a 65 horsepower engine, it had no electrical system, it had no lights, it had no radio, and all it had was a compass and a sectional chart to get us to where we had to go. But we did it. And we would take road trips together. In South Dakota, you could get a driver's license if you worked on the farm. And we had, my dad had some farms. At age 13, you could have a driver's license legally. So David and I drove at a very young age. And we would set out, even in high school, on road trips to the Black Hills, to Colorado, to Las Vegas in the bright lights, to cross the Mojave Desert at night to keep the radiator from boiling over into California. And we just were inseparable on those many, many journeys. I think to understand David is to understand the immense good fortune that he had growing up in a small Midwestern town in this greatest of all countries during the 1940s and 1950s. A place that had incredible freedom, as you can probably tell from my remarks. But it also gave us a sense of security, a sense of optimism. The limitless prairie may be where that comes from. But when we went forth in the world, we had a sense of adventure and we knew we could take care of ourselves. We had a can-do attitude, and as all you know ever so well, David exemplified that as much as anybody ever could. His spirit of adventure was palpable. And lest you think that my brother was just a soft marshmallow like our mother, Woe unto you if you were a wide receiver and had the temerity to do a post pattern underneath the coverage, because you could count on getting your head taken off. And if you didn't lose your head in the collision with my brother, you'd certainly lose the fillings in your teeth. And more than one football player left the field of glory in the horizontal position after meeting my brother. And for that, he was awarded All-State football honors, and it was more than well-deserved. And I remember in college, all the newspaper clippings that I had on my wall, it looked like wallpaper of my brother as he made his way in the on the football field, and probably was the seminal reason for his going to Dartmouth, because they did recruit him originally to play football at Dartmouth. How did David decide to go into medicine? With sibling rivalry, he always smartly and wisely did what I didn't do. He didn't make my mistakes. He went to school on me. And it was very difficult when I came home from medical school my sophomore year from Iowa City. And I remember having a very large red textbook of pathology, Robin's textbook of pathology. It was big enough that if you needed to change a light bulb, you could pretty well stand on that book and do your job. And he had seen that I had memorized everything in that book. And he looked at me and said, "You know, there's no way I can do that. There is no way that I could subject myself to that kind of discipline, mindless memory." And he was much smarter than I, and he always, I think, had the idea that he would do something loftier than that, that the prosaic and mundane practice of clinical medicine would not be what he should do. But when I came back from the Air Force, I remember he came over to me and said, "You know," he said, "I'm going to go to medical school." And what happened was that he realized, as all of you know, that there is nothing, no occupation, where David's skills and his ability could be better served to really touch people than through medicine. And he made the right choice. So for all of us who are lucky to be here late in the fourth quarter with the clock running, as we are in the late autumn and even early winter of our years, when we look up and we look at that big scoreboard that we carry, all of us in our minds, and we all carry it with us, can we summarize a life in a simple sentence or a few words? I think you can. For some, that summation might be, he succeeded. And that might mean that you made a large amount of money, or you had a large amount of recognition, or you were honored by your peers and your colleagues. For some, it might be to say that he lived, which is to say that one led a life of adventure, of discovery, in the pursuit of experiences. Certainly these are noble goals, and they add to personal growth. But all of them involve taking in. And then there is the reason that all of us are here today, to honor the memory of my much loved and beloved little brother. He honored our remarkable immigrant family values and priorities. He gave. And in so doing, we, all of us here, are forever the better for it.